Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dockery. Glad to be with you once again. Can you believe it? September the 5th, 2023. Wow. Time is flying. It's been 7 years now, friends, that we've been doing this, and I'm grateful for, over the years, each and every one of you who's joined us. This Tuesday night, we hope to share with you some useful information. In my travels, I have an opportunity to speak with various sets of people from different perspectives of life, and not only here in Nashville, but moving around and what have you. My business allowed me to hear from different individuals and share thoughts. And so tonight we do have a topic. Here on Talk Straight. And we want to encourage you to give us a call. Let me give you that number right now so you can – we got one call in queue already. Let me give you that number right now. That number to call tonight in the studio, 563-999-3617. What's that number again, Dockery? That's 563-999-3617. All right? Give us a buzz. We'll be happy to entertain your question and comment for the next hour or so here. Give me about maybe a few minutes to share this monologue to give us context for this conversation tonight. I already got my good friend out of Murphy, bro. He posted up, and I'm expecting a brother out of Peoria, Illinois, and our good friend, Pastor Richard Waller, if he can make it with us tonight. But most importantly, you, and you. Give us a call here, 563-999-3617. Love to have you in our dialogue this evening, again on this Tuesday night, September 5th, 2023. Y'all know what that means, right? That means that we are, some people, depending on how you look at it, it's either the end of summer or the beginning of fall. How you want to look at it? How you want to call it? Either way you call it, the day is the same. And it's a day that we've never seen before and a day that God has blessed us to be here yet again. All right, so without further ado, you got that number, 563-999-3617. Give us a call here, and we'll park you in the studio and entertain your question. Come in. Don't have to give your name if you're a new caller. We'll just refer to you by the last four digits of your phone number. And, again, you feel free to introduce yourself as you wish. But let me go ahead and get into this monologue so we can open up the phone lines, okay? All right. Tonight on this September the 5th, 2023, we're talking from the topic Pillars of a Viable Community. Pillars of a Viable Community. How to Restore Urban America. Now, if you've paid attention to this show for any length of time, you know we began and continue to speak in reference to urban American issues. In the latter times, we tried to offer more solutions. But yet, guess what, beloved? It's ironic because over the last 7 years, we've addressed those things, right? We've listened. We've shared. But here we are after great thoughts, great ideas, you know, and even individuals who demonstrated and shared with us their attempts to make a difference, to manifest their thoughts into action. We find ourselves, major urban cities, we're still confronted with some of the same issues, identically. Sometimes, when you care, it makes you feel like you haven't done anything or done enough or that your efforts were in vain. Don't feel that way. Don't feel that way. That's what we'll never do. We'll never tire. We'll never quit. We'll never give up on trying to make a difference in the lives of others. Okay? We'll never do that. So tonight, join me as I offer some insight on key pillars. Pillars are just like you see on the Colosseum in your major cities. They hold up the infrastructure and keep the house together, right? All throughout the antebellum South, you saw pillars that became iconic for the establishment there, all right? And so hence tonight, we're talking about three key pillars of a viable community. Well, this is coming from your host here, and I'd like to offer you some backdrop on that, on the basis of that, so you have some context. All right, go ahead and give me a call, 563-999-3617. Let's get right into it. Let's get right into it. The text in Proverbs 29th chapter and the 18th verse says this very simply. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Mm. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I'm going to stop right there. Where there is no vision, people perish. But if you follow prescriptive rule and guides, you'll be happy. All right. I want to talk tonight from the point of education, economy, and theology. So those are the three pillars that I submit to you are essential. Now, does that mean that they're all to be said or to be added? Absolutely not. As your host tonight for Talk Straight, Brother Dockery, I'm offering these three to you for your consideration. I'm not asking you to just accept them because I said it, but I'd like you to consider them, all right? First, number one, education. I would argue that in order for urban American communities to improve, starting today, 2023, listen, ain't nothing we can do about time that's gone. It ain't never coming back. We're where we are today. And the same circumstances can be fixed in this manner, through education. Well, what is education? Now we hear fights, we hear spats, and we hear arguments over political differences in public schools and private schools and even charter schools all around the nation. So some try to say one is better, the other one is worse. Okay? But what is education? We've defined this before. You know that. Simply a process that involves teaching and learning. So someone is doing the teaching, providing instruction, and someone else is taking that in they're learning it. Now, how do we know when they've learned? How do we know when a people, young or old, student has learned? Well, the greatest measurement of learning is change in behavior. So it seems as though some folk have learned very much in the last 7 years, huh? We're gonna get right at it. Now, having said that, somebody might argue, oh no, we're doing this and we're doing that, and we know. We just look at you, see where you are, and determine if you've gained any knowledge that helped you to change your behavior. That's how you measure learning. Now, having said that, what's important for this first pillar to help our people is that collectively we agree upon the aim. What is the purpose of what we're teaching? Come on, somebody. Now, that's the biggest challenge because too many of us are divided on a great many things. It is hard for us to come together to share a aim. It ought to be easy for us. Nobody want to see children die. Nobody want to see children suffer. Everybody want to see their children do well, to prosper. I'm assuming that being the case, it seems as if it should be easy for us to have one aim in the black community, in urban America, for our children. Okay? Well, then that brings us to the point of what are we teaching? What's the content? You know, what's the focus of our teaching to these folks? See, if you're trying to teach a cat be a dog, can I say something? Can I tell you something? You're going to come up short. You're going to come up real short. That's not even natural. However, you want to teach a young man or young woman that God has created you to be, have dominion in the earth and to produce and to master and conquer it, and that you have purpose, you have creativity, you have opportunity. Yeah, that's some good that we can teach. We can teach them that. Huh? Teach them how to carry themselves. Teach them how to walk upright. Teach them how to be honorable, respectful. Yeah, we can teach those things. Start at home, moving outside, and anywhere you go. Huh? We can do that. That's not impossible. We got a goal. We got an aim. We're educating all of our babies. And all of them can do this. It bothers me when people suggest that certain children are incapable of keeping up or competing or learning with others. That's a lie. Somebody say the devil is a liar. All right? But what are we teaching them? Point are we teaching? Who's doing the instructing? Some of it is at home. There's an adage in education to ask the question, is the glass half empty or half full? Well, the answer to that rhetorical question is depending on where you start and what's in it when they come to the instructor, when the student comes before the teacher. And the first lessons are learned by any of us, by our parents. Huh? All right? Then there's a role that, by extension, a teacher outside of the home instruction. Yeah. See, that's not hard. It's not hard, beloved. All right? Got an aim. We've identified. We're going to talk about this some more tonight. We identify what it is we want to teach. And then lastly, the question is the pedagogy. Pedagogy. What is that word, Dr. Pedagogy? All that means is your style, your ability to reach the student. Say that again, doctor. I said if you can't reach them, you can't teach them. That's a major issue in the public education system. Over $300 billion are spent every year in the educational arenas. But yet we got children that spend 12 years coming out, can't read, have not mastered mathematical, and can't write. Something wrong with that now. We're talking about an urban America. How do you, well, what are these pillars to make urban America stronger, to restore it, right? Okay, we can do it. And listen, listen, I'm going to keep on trying. I don't know about nobody else, but I'm going to keep on trying until I can't go no more. All right? Some people may not care. Some people may not, hey, this ain't important to them. I get it. Bless you. Keep it moving. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep it moving. All right? So that's that first pillar. And that first pillar, we identify an aim, a common aim, specifically that we're teaching. And we ask ourselves, what's our style? What's our approach? Is it culturally relevant? Does it identify, will the students be able to identify with it, with me, and the outcome? Okay? That's important. That's important. Then the second pillar that we look at is the economy in urban America. Uh-oh. What you mean, Doctor, the economy? I thought we paid taxes in the government to act wrong now. You do pay taxes. You do spend money, and you are levied for the money you earn and the work you put out, the production you have. Marvin Gaye says three things are for sure: taxes, death, and trouble. This I know, he said. Look. When we talk about the economy, really what we're talking about, things related to wealth within the urban American community, however we define that, and the resources that exist there. Now, what's key, though, is that you have to determine who controls, who brings and controls those resources. If every dollar we spend, we make, we spend it, and we take it out of your neighborhood, out of your community, guess what? You're not investing in that community to continue to sustain it and build it up. Somebody else gets that benefit. Well, you got to eat, right? The stores you go buy your food. You wear clothes, don't you? Stores you buy your clothes from. What other items or commodities do you use? Where are you buying from? How many of us have established ourselves in urban America such that we own the stores that folks got to come to? We provide something that is marketable to other people. That's a key point. There are African-American businesses who struggle. All of us, I'm a business owner, have to be cognizant of the fact that in business, the most important thing is that you have a marketable product, something that is in demand, and you market that product to let people know that you have it and that you can supply and provide that service or that product. So it's not good enough just to say that I'm a African-American, I'm a black business, but you have to market yourself to everybody that have green money. Somebody say green money. Green money. Yeah. And then when that comes, after that, there needs to be a responsible supervision of those wealth and resources to make sure that they are contributing to your education, to your social well-being, your outlook, and even programs and services that are there. It's possible for us to be organized in the urban American hemisphere or community in such a way that we don't have to rely so heavily on outsiders to sustain us, because we're producing and we're building in a way that we can reinvest in ourselves. Some folks don't like what you're doing, never mind. As long as you can pay for it, you can have it. The culture, specific identity, whole nine yards. You see what I mean? So that's the second pillar, is controlling the economy. Your educational process, your economic basis, production, distribution, and sustaining. Third thing. What is the third thing, Doctor? And then we're going to open up the phone lines here. Well, it's your theology. Uh-oh. Wait a minute, you're about to meddle now. What does theology mean? And I'm going to define it in this way. It's an analysis, a clear look at your relationship with God. God being the source of your strength, the reason you're here, and the thing that drives you and keep you going. Scripture says, in him do we move and have our being. I didn't come to preach, but I can. And you fool with me, I might just do that tonight. See, so your theology. Now, what's the problem with our theology in urban America then, Don? Well, part of the problem is, some kind of way, as a whole, we have learned to systematically work against one another, theologically. Oh, what you saying, preacher? What you saying? Unfortunately, beloved, when we take this notion of denominationalism to where I'm the Baptist, I'm the Methodist, I'm the Pentecostal, I'm the Apostolic, and I'm this and I'm that, and I got to do it differently. I can't be with you. We can't come together because we got different ways of getting to heaven. All of us want to go to the same heaven, right? Huh? And we need theology for a central purpose of helping identify ourselves, our families, our children. That's how you shape their character, that God made you in his own likeness and his image, and that he is your sole help and provider. Are you with me? And with him, through him, nothing will be impossible. I believe Luke said that somewhere around there. You understand what I'm saying? So what we're searching for is not religious dogma, beloved, but we're searching for truth and reality. You know the text. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you. You understand what I'm saying? See, we should be teaching theologically, collectively, that we all should be looking for the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help us God. Will lead to unified worship. What is worship? It's our approach to letting God know, thank you. I recognize you as being the source of my strength, and I come before you humbly in prayer and supplication and song and dance, expression, to let you know that I recognize you as being my hope and my strength. That's all we're saying. Now, why we can't do that together? Why is it on Sunday morning, probably one of the most segregated hours, set of hours on Sunday morning, is when folk go to church? But what we're seeing now, more people, white and black, have lost interest in that. Something has happened. We're going to talk about it. Give me just one more second, and I'm opening the phone line. Why is all this important, Doctor? Why is this theology that you're talking about important? Because as I alluded to earlier, it helps frame our cultural identity. This is what makes us one community. See, what we're talking about tonight is pillars of a viable, alive, thriving community. When our education is right, we know what to teach our children. We know what parents need to learn, what guardians need to learn, everybody in there, right? We know how we do that, what approach best works to being able to produce for ourselves and establish an economic framework where we can build wealth from one family to the next. Are y'all with me? Then we can market that to the world, not just in the hood, but to the world, right? Responsibly being organized. And with this third pillar, our theology helped us to do the first two. Searching for truth and reality, being unified in our worship, and having a cultural. And 563-999-3617. Come on, get in here where you fit in here. I got my good friend, Pastor Waller. Pastor Waller is my main man, but I got my good friend out of Mercy, straight out of Mercy, but the borough, Joshua Horton, Pastor. Can you believe that?
Hey,
all right.
What do you say? Who that you got there, Pastor Doctor?
I got old Joshua Horton out of the borough, out of Mercy borough.
Hey, Joshua. Hey, man, how you doing?
Go
ahead. I've
been here for a long time, but I'm back in there.
That's right. Yes, sir. Good to know that, Josh. Yes, sir. Good to hear your voice, brother.
Good to hear yours, too.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you. That's all right there, Pastor Docky. Got my main man on there, Josh.
Absolutely.
Yes,
he
sir.
Don't play. He does
no,
not play.
Man.
He
busted
like
a lot. I call him. Yes, sir, brother. I call him a piece of ammunition, brother. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into this stuff. Let's get into the colors.
I was going to say, now, you just did the Trinity. Did you not?
The Trinity. Talk to me about that.
I thought about that. The Trinity, you did. The Trinity is a piece of art. A piece of art doesn't just stick on a wall of any color. It sticks on pieces of what you call you have to put it on something that sticks on something else.
Okay.
All right. Now, you said the Trinity, and I was like, oh, I get that now. Okay, I'm understanding you now. Okay. The Trinity is also not something to play around with.
Okay.
All right. No, the Trinity is not something to play around with.
Okay,
if
I'm with
you play
you.
Around with the Trinity, you're going to be burned. So you have to not get burned, but place it in a art and art room. It's the art room of many colors.
Okay. All right.
There are rooms that you have now had of many colors. You have painted a picture of what you want to have as your painting of your life.
I see. Okay, I see where you're going. I see where you're going. So you're saying
you have a painting of your life. So you have now painted your life, and now now are like, this is how you want your life to actually go at.
Okay.
It sounds like
let me
perfect.
Yeah.
Only
let me jump
God
in here. Let me jump in here for a second.
Oh.
Okay.
let me jump in here for a second. I like what you're saying. Josh has taken what we discussed about the pillars of a viable community, and we're talking about how to restore urban America. He's saying that it's like creating a mosaic of your life or your way of life. And he fashioned it or placed it in terms of the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And I talked about three pillars of building a viable community. And what he's saying is what you're doing is essentially making a mosaic or creating some art that don't just hang on the wall, but have application. Josh, let me get Pastor Waller to comment on that because I got a headache right now. I'm trying to process all that. While I'm processing it, let me get Pastor Waller to help us out here. What do you think about that, Brother Preacher?
Well, I don't think I can elaborate no better than what I was hearing already. When you come down to the seriousness of anything that has to do with talking about the scriptures, because I heard something about that it ain't nothing to play with. So
right.
So if I said if I said that I'm a believer, and and I stand on it, and I'm persuaded, with confidence that I'm a believer. So I have to stand on that. So I have to say, what I stand on is that to live and learn what the gospel means is important. And so I don't want to add to the gospel and take nothing away from it. So what I do, I keep it real simple. And this is what I want to say. Whatever is revealed to me is for my learning. I've found out that the word does say, according to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and it talks about the fear of the Lord God is the beginning of knowledge. But it says fools despise wisdom and understanding. So I don't want to be a fool all over again. So I'm just sitting back enjoying what I'm hearing, and I'll just walk in wisdom and learn what I can from what you all are talking about right now. So I don't want to be a fool and touch on something when I just heard Joshua say, now look, you don't want to set yourself up because this is real serious right here. And that's what I believe about the gospel, man. The gospel is something that is not to be taken lightly. And it's not to be played with, I think that's what it was that was made mention. So I don't put no energy in it. I just take what I learned, and then I walk it in. And then I'm willing to learn some other things about it. So I'm just here to hear about the situation and what could come from it as I lend it an ear. So I want to make sure I hear some more about it. And that would be, it's interesting, though, and I want to say it's not turning back over. When I discovered about taking a chance, I knew that it was going to be valuable. And this is what I want to say this right here. That thing I see a lot of times, I always say it too in the end of one of my messages when I'm speaking, because more will be revealed. I have to say, stay tuned. I have to stay tuned because I still know learning is a big part of getting to know God for myself, right?
That's one
of the most important tools that I've learned to say, be quick to hear and slow to speak. And when I found out that, I said, that means I must not know a lot of things because I can find out a little bit more, but I got to be quick to hear and, again, slow to speak. So I found out today, because I was listening, and the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, you need to be reminded that for all these years you've been inside my will. The devil is your best witness. He knows that you're keeping it real. I said to myself, and that right there, it had to be some secret information that he gave it to me. After all them years, he reminded me that the devil is my best witness, that he know I'm walking uprightly. And I'm striving to get a chance to get to know him a little bit better each and every day. So I have to use the devil for a footstool, and that's what I was told years ago. But I didn't know it, that he was going to be my best witness, that I am really actually striving to do the will of God more effectively, man. And so that's a beautiful thing, and that's why I take it serious like that. When I heard Joshua say, it ain't nothing to play with, I said, well, that's something right there. That devil knows that if a person is inside the will of God and the devil is a witness, you got a real fine witness. And the devil don't do nothing good. But how he became my witness, Pastor Doctor, I can only say it's because I was using him as a footstool.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Joshua. When we were talking about education, you know that in 2023, it's not just young people, but a lot of old folk too. They turn to social media to get their news, and it becomes a guide for their thought and their action. And is that the best way for urban America, Joshua, to be instructed, or do we have to go back to the old landmark and make sure that folk know the truth and how it is in their day-to-day life that they can be successful? Or should we allow social media, YouTube, now it used to be Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all those things?
All those we need to listen to. And then you choose the best one that you think you like best. Listen to all of those. Don't listen to just one station. Listen to a lot of stations.
Okay.
So
okay.
You get a lot of information.
Hold on one second. Suppose the information that's out there on a YouTube channel or on Facebook is false information, because now young people are told you don't need God to be happy.
Watch out now. I hear you.
You don't need God. You don't need marriage. You don't need family. You can do something different. But and they get that on YouTube.
Yeah.
They get
that. Why you see? That's the thing. You gotta listen to the old. You gotta listen to the young. You gotta listen middle. You gotta listen to everything out there now.
Well, let me tell you this, Josh. True story. This little boy was about to get a whooping because he told his mama, blank, blank. She was embarrassed in front of other people. She said, where you get that from? I ain't teach you that. Where you get that from? He said, I saw it on TV. Huh? You see how important it is to control the exposure of certain concepts and ideas to our children, especially the young people.
I don't listen to a lot of channel.
Okay. All right. But, Pastor, you know what I'm talking about?
Man, I love that, man. I love that because you said that it told the parents that I saw it on TV. They showing no television, so I grabbed a hold to it, you know? And that's what it was. And, you know, Joshua was talking about you got to hear everybody out, right? Check this out. That's a good one right there. You know how we be up on the street, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
So I was up on the street this past Saturday. And after we got finished winding down, you know, we breaking down the tent and things. So this guy came through and he was walking his little grandbaby. And she's only 3 years old.
Mm.
So we got up there, you know how she around the people, and so she's not ready to open up. And I said, you know, I know I can get her opened up. You know what I did, don't you, Pastor?
That
basketball. You got that basketball. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she lit up. Mm. And as soon as I spin the ball and put it on my fingers, guess what that child said, man? She said, I can do that. No, not I won't. I can do that. And I said,
okay.
How awesome is that, man, just to hear that three-year-old baby say, I can do that. So here I go. I know one thing I heard her say, that she said she could do it, and then I'm not one that's going to do the doubting. I'm going to make sure she's going to be able to do it before she left. So anyway, make a long story short, people trying to root on, you know, they try to get the hold, but she don't have the power to hold the ink pen. I'm going to put it on the ink pen and let her hold it while the ball is spinning. So she was just stunned and shocked, so I held it good for her, so she's holding it with my assisting her. Now, after this time, I'm going to let you hold it yourself. And here we go. People try to root her on and everything, but I know if I give it a good enough spin, she's going to seem like she's going to drop it, but the spin going to be so good that it's going to hold it up for her. And soon enough, by the time I let it go, she had that thing going, Pastor. Everybody was just rooting for her because I turned it loose. And I'm saying all that to say, remember I said she said that I can do that. It wasn't on any pen, it was just on my finger. But I wanted to make sure that she get a chance to realize what she said came to pass because she did it by herself. I put it in her hand. And so I'm saying all that to say, we got to watch what we do in front of kids, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because the television told that person a vision, and they heard it and brought it back to the parents, and all of a sudden, where did you get that from? He said, I can't know TV. So we got to watch what we do in front of them, man. That's what
and if I might,
more of the story.
Powerful point. If I might, Pastor, let me ride the coattail on that one. And we have to be careful and make sure we control what our children are exposed to. See, this whole idea is we want them to grow. We want them to learn within the community, but we have to clean the community up such that negative, terrible, destructive examples are not what are shaping them. You
sure.
See what I mean?
Sure. Most certainly. That's a fight.
Yes, sir, it is. It is. That means the grown people got to be in order. The preacher, the teacher.
Yes,
come
sir.
On, somebody. The parents. Come on, somebody. The milkman, the garbage man. Huh?
Oh,
everybody got to be. Help me hold it.
That's right, man. The maintenance man, he even pulled over and came over there. He was on his job, and he still came over there. He said, I don't know about that. I'm getting ready to go over there. I got to go over there and be a part of this. And he came over. You know, he talked. I gave him the mic. And sure enough, man, he said some valuable things. And I know that if the people have a heart, they have to pay attention to what the brother said, man. So I put it out there, even though sometimes we don't have the patience, because if you put something out there 2 or 3 minutes longer than what they expect, they may not be able to handle it, you know, and they just go on to the next thing, which is understandable. But what the enemy means for bad, God is going to get the good out of it because it is time to clean up so the kids won't have to go through that so they can see things and hear things that's positive and it won't give them that energy that the enemy has been giving us for so long here lately. Years and years and years have gone by. We got to start a new thing, make it like it's supposed to be, bring back the good old days, you know, and I think it can be done. Yes, sir.
Right. Well, you know, the truth is, Pastor, we have the responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's not waiting on somebody else to determine
what is best,
to lay out what is best. That's our job. You understand
what
I'm saying?
We got to do it, brother. Yeah. That's it. We're not going to depend on nobody else to get it done.
No, sir.
That's right.
This idea. Go ahead, Josh. What were you going to say?
I was just saying, that's right. It's not anybody else's job but ours.
Yeah.
That's it, Joshua. You said it's our job to get it done. It's nobody else's job. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
I believe that. I take that and I embrace that because that's the truth, brother. Yes, sir.
Right.
Without a doubt.
Right. Okay. Okay. So let me ask you all this. Let me ask you two gentlemen this. We've got about another 15 minutes before our time is time. How do you, with everything that's going on, and Doc, we done messed up already, Josh. I dropped my milk. I spilled it already. It's on the ground. Okay? I'm angry, Josh. Not only am I angry, but now I'm hungry for some more, right? And I'm so hungry that I'm willing to take yours from you, man. And that's going to cause some friction, ain't it? How do you turn the hearts of people in the community around to where we have a mutual respect and love for one another? Because it seems like it's dog eat dog now, man. Everybody out here hungry and struggling. You know what I mean, Josh? And we were talking earlier, Josh, about everybody doing something different at the same time. How do you turn the hearts of people around to where you'll say, well, I'm going to look and see what Josh needs before I go? No, no, you go first, Pastor Wallace. No, no, Doctor, you go first. How do we get that, Josh? How do we get to that point, man, where we have that kind of mutual respect for one another?
Well, at this point in time, people don't do that anymore.
We
so, you go first. It's like, okay. Okay. So, it's not like, me and, even my, before me, after I was born, but before I was born, we didn't have had respect, dignity. And
watch out,
like,
man. Talk, brother. Yes, sir. And respect, man.
But right now, there's no dignity, respect.
No,
man. about how
there were two great commandments that he said, I want you to focus on. First, love God with all your heart. With all your heart.
That's right.
And with all your focus, all your mind. Then the next thing
and
I want
your
you to do, if you really, and your, look, love your neighbor. You love your
neighbor. Yes, sir. That's it, bro. That's strong.
Josh, don't ask
power.
That is strong. Josh, don't ask me for my shoes, man, because I may have to give them to you, okay? I may fool around, have to take off my shoes and give them to you. So please don't ask me for my shoes. You see what I mean, Josh? But we've gotten so far away from that, not only in urban America, but everywhere, where too many of us, and I've been guilty myself, and I'm working on it, back. Too many of us are so selfish that we'd rather look out for ourselves first than we do anyone else, you know? And that's a humility thing. That requires humility.
Yes, sir. It does. It really does. You know, that's the reason why it's so important to take heed to the scripture when we find out about it. That's why I say learning comes into play, because sometimes it's just, you know, a person don't know. But when you learn that and you start to apply it, it feels good once you get a chance to get through it. But you have to start first. It's like, I don't know how this is going to be. I'm getting ready to get away with shoes. but after you do it, then you get a chance to experience what it's like. But if you never experience that, because of self-centeredness, it's big, man. Self-centeredness is powerful, and it has a lot of things called energy that's not good. Because the word does say, and I'm talking about nothing but the word, not what I said. It said, we being who are strong,
ought
to battle the infirmity of the weak, and not to please ourselves. So if someone is without, and then you strong enough and you have it, don't miss the opportunity to lay it on the person, because you never get a chance to experience what it felt like after you have done that. And that's
what's
amazing about the word of God says, more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so you got people that's not caring anything about that. You know, not at all. But I know that the people that's on the line right now, and maybe those that are listening, it's a beautiful thing to be able to have that concept down packed, because Jesus himself did not please his own self.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
And that's the thing.
Wow.
He was loving the next person, man. Yeah. That's important.
Yeah. And so what I'm saying, gentlemen, is that one of the content materials in 2023 that has to be taught in the urban American community is humility, to the point that, well, yes, we're hard and we take care of ourselves, but there ought to be some room for us to give to someone else. One of the lessons that we ought to teach, that should be a central part of our education, is to love your neighbor like you love yourself. Well, Josh, what if my neighbor's nappy head?
All right.
What if my breezy bubble eyed nappy head? Do I still got to love him?
Yes. We are still supposed to love ourselves as God loves us.
Okay. I'll take that. I'm going to take that, Josh. I'm going to take that from you.
We are supposed to love. We are supposed to unconditionally love.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely.
There you go.
What if I'm a junkyard dog that keeps breaking in your house? How can you love me, Josh, like that, man? I keep on burning you.
We are supposed to love. Conditionally,
that is.
You messed me up, Josh. You messed me up.
Came back
with that one.
Yes, sir. That's powerful love, there, brother.
Josh, you done stole my 50-inch TV, and you tried to sell it to me yesterday. I gotta love you behind that, bro. And what you telling me?
Yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me.
Yes, sir. Beat that, brother.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Wait a minute, John. You were responsible for my loved one dying. I got to turn around and love you behind that?
I am sorry that I did it, and I'll pay for the wedding.
Well, you're making it rough on me, Josh. You're making it rough on me tonight.
Yes,
sir. You're making it hard on me.
That's the truth. When truth speaks, it does that, man.
Yeah.
It does this from the beginning.
Absolutely, Pastor. And this is what the challenge of forgiveness from all the hurt, the pain, and the sorrow that we've seen inflicted on one another. It's difficult for us to trust each other because we've been hurt so many times by somebody that looked just like me. Grew up in the same neighborhood,
right.
Went to school with me. Stole from me. But I got the up. I feel like whooping
you. That comes up. You know, that's righteousness old. You know, that should come up like that. But when we get through it, and then get to that part where, man, I can forgive them like that, man. He said, yeah, he said, if you don't forgive them, then it's going to be likewise on your end. You won't be forgiven for what you have done. And that's one of the most powerful tools and how to learn to get through it is a tough situation. It's not easy now. Believe me, that's not easy to do. I carry it on my shoulder right now. I do that.
It's not easy to forgive a time and time and time again.
Right. Yeah, not easy, but it can be done.
When you forgive and then you do it again, and then and you are really actually sorry for the whatever you've done, and then you do it again, and you're sorry again.
My goodness, that's
bad
right there, man.
That's bad. I hate that our time done crept up on us. But Josh, I had something for you on that one, man. I had something to get back with you on. You got me pinned in the corner, brother. You got me pinned in the corner. I got to give, even when it hurts, to people that I don't like, man. I don't even like the cat, Josh. I mean, come on, man. I still got to love him. Okay. Listen, Arthur. Go ahead, guys.
I don't like a lot of people, but unconditionally loving is not that hard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Love is actually not that hard, actually.
Okay. But I just got a few more minutes.
You love somebody and you're trying to work on something or somebody and it's not working out right now.
Okay. I hate to cut you off, but we got a few more minutes here before we get cut off. So, Pastor Wallet, we're going to let you – I appreciate that, Josh, and you joining us tonight. Pastor, you want to wrap us up here for our discussion tonight? You've been listening to Talk Straight. We've been talking from the topic, Pillars of a Viable Community, How to Restore Urban America. We'll just add to 2023. All right, Pastor, I hate to cut us loose here, cut us short, but go ahead and give us a final thought for the evening, please, sir.
Yeah, all right. We thank God, man, for everything that we talked about, and for all those that are tuning in, that's listening, we believe that there's power in togetherness and how you can prevent the enemy from going any further with causing us to self-destruct. We have to learn what it's like to utilize the power of what it says when it said two or three. That means when you got two or three people coming together, touching and agreeing, and being in his name, he said he'll be in the midst of us. So we need to learn the power of that, how we can come together like that. So he says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together in the matter of some. See, we had to work on that some, because some don't want to hook up with people that's doing the things that's upright. So be encouraged and know that that's faith. Like the smallest one you can find, you must see that we can get it done. I yield back to you on that note, because that's where the hope is, utilizing our faith.
All right, we appreciate that, and appreciate those of you who join us tonight and will listen afterwards. We're going to leave on this. People all over the world, join hands and start a love train. Right?
We'll
see you
right,
next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight.